tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. This week, we're going to continue bringing you the tips and tricks you need to turn your passion for cats into action. I am Kristen. I'm the technical tabby here at the show. You'll be back in regular host Stacey LeBaron's capable hands next week, but for now, I'm here to introduce part two of a special audio presentation of colony caretaking tips and tricks that was brought to you by our friends at Neighborhood Cats late last year. If you haven't heard part one yet, I recommend heading on back to last week's episode and starting there before listening to this one. In this episode, Brian Cordes, who is the National Programs Director at Neighborhood Cats and a longtime TNR advocate and practitioner, shares methods to help you help your colony cats stay healthy and to thrive. Plus, there's a fantastic Q&A session with Stacey at the end that you absolutely don't want to miss. Since the presentation originally included slides and videos, you might hear occasional references to those visuals. We tried to edit those out wherever we could, but we did have to leave some in to keep the conversation clear. If you are intrigued by those visuals and you want to check out the presentation with all that media included, go ahead and hop on over to our YouTube channel. We'll provide a link in the show notes, and you can go ahead and put colony caretaking tips and tricks into the search, and you will probably get it to come up right away. But you can also check out the Everything TNR playlist. This presentation is included in that, along with plenty of other helpful content for colony caretakers and really anybody who loves cats. Next week, we'll be back with a regular episode. It's a fantastic interview Stacey did with Gary Evans, the president of the Alliance for Contraception in Cats and Dogs. They're going to be discussing the future of non-surgical sterilization, which I'm sure you agree is a very exciting topic. So if you're not already subscribed to the show, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss that. And get ready, because we're going to learn all of the tips and tricks for colony caretaking Brian has to share with us. On with the show.
Let's talk about hostile neighbors that seem to come up as a concern for a lot of you, understandably.
What we recommend, like when we do our basic training, a TNR training workshop, it's always better to try to work with people than it is to argue with them, because arguing with them usually doesn't get you very far. If people don't want cats in their yards, then it's better just to work with them to have that happen. If they have a normal size backyard, it's not that hard to keep the cats out. Now, if they're on 2 acres, that's a whole different story, but if you're in an urban area, an urban environment, and or normal suburban area or town, usually it's not that hard to keep the cats out of the backyards. You use what we call deterrents. And there are two kinds that you see here. One is what we call ultrasonic, and the other is attached to a hose, and it sprays out water. And the way they work is you put them in the ground, and they emit an infrared field that covers the backyard. And when a cat steps into the infrared field, it triggers the device. In the ultrasonic device, it starts to emit a very high-pitched, very annoying to cats sound. People can't hear it. And it doesn't travel through solid objects. So your cats inside aren't going to hear it, or the cats on the other side of the fence aren't going to hear it. And it's just really annoying. And most cats will just leave right away. You do get some cats eventually who are very stubborn, and it may take a week before they are like, it really sucks hanging out here, and they leave. So the motion-activated sprinkler, on the other hand, when the cat steps in the infrared field, it shoots out a burst of water. It doesn't get the cat wet, but its action is very violent in terms of the burst of water, and it scares the cats, and they with both of these devices, what happens is eventually the cats learn the boundaries of the infrared field, and they just stop entering it. They just learn to stay away from it. The motion-activated sprinkler, we like that because you can see it working. So there's no mystery to it. The ultrasonic, on the other hand, we can't hear it, so it makes it a little trickier to use properly. And a lot of times people think they don't work, but it's because they didn't set them up properly. So for example, sometimes people put them up on poles, and then as a result, the infrared field goes shooting over the cat's heads. So they should only be a certain height off of the ground, and you have to point them in the right direction. Just little tricks like that. Also, you have to make sure the size of the infrared field matches the size of the area you're trying to keep cats out of. or you may need more than one of the devices. So this particular ultrasonic device has a range of 25 feet. So a cat entering that 25-foot area is going to trigger it. I mentioned the correct range, correct height. You want to make sure it's pointed at an area that's frequently used. You want to make sure you have functioning batteries. Solar devices are great for that, and you don't have to worry so much about the batteries giving out. And give it some time to work. You can also use physical barriers to deter cats from different areas or from specific places. So just a car cover. If you've got a neighbor who is complaining that the cats are hanging out on top of their car, you might buy him a car cover. And if the cats go on there, at least they're not touching the vehicle itself. That does require a little bit of taking the cover on and off, but some of them are pretty easy to use. Cat-proof fencing is a very effective way to keep cats in or out of certain areas. They're designed to contain cats, but you can actually point the tops of them in the other direction and they'll keep cats out. It's just an expensive material to use. You can cut down on the cost of cat fencing if there's already like a wooden fence. They have these kind of half that they're similar to cat fencing, but they are just something that goes on top of existing fences. So they're cheaper but equally effective. Cat scat mats are little plastic points. They don't hurt the cats. You put them in the ground with the points sticking skywards. So like a flower bed or a garden or something like that. And the cats are not going to walk on that or dig in that. So it's a very effective way to keep them out of gardens and flower beds. River rocks. You can spread river rocks around a garden, and anything that is obstructing them from digging means they're not going to use it as a litter box. Another idea is just lattice fencing. We've seen people put down 6-foot by 4-foot pieces of lattice or whatever size on the ground and then plant their flowers in the openings. And again, it will keep the cats out of the garden and for purposes of using it to eliminate. Here's a kind of creative idea we had with somebody who had their car in long-term storage. And since it was sitting there for several months and the cats like to hang out on top of the car, eventually they started scratching and ripping the car cover. So we didn't want them on the car at all. So we covered the top of the car with cat scat mats and just bungee corded them into place. And the owner was very happy because their car was completely cat free while they were away. They're not, obviously not something you'd want to take on and off on a daily basis, but more of an idea for long-term storage. Another alternative, if the cats are using somebody's garden or they object to the cats pooping in their yard or whatever it might be, is if you give them a place to go that's more attractive for them. So sandboxes are great for that. And you can just use normal kitty sandbox sand, which is very inexpensive. It's heavy, but it's cheap. And just clean it out. Either throw it all out, replace it every now and then, or scoop it out, whatever it might be. Another thing you can do is put a pile of peat moss in a corner of the yard, and the cats will go use that. They love peat moss for litter. And just throw it away and replace it periodically to keep it clean. Other ideas, you can get a storage bin, cut a doorway, and put a litter pan inside of the storage bin. And again, the idea is the cat's got to go somewhere. So if you give them an attractive alternative, they'll usually stay away from the problem areas. Okay, last section I want to talk about today are health hacks. And that's the idea, not to dispense veterinary advice, that's not appropriate, but just basic kind of care or common things that come up that would be very inconvenient or unrealistic or too expensive to be trapping the cats and bringing them into veterinarians. So just some ideas on how to keep your cats healthy. So vitamin C is a great nutrient for cats. It bolsters the immune system, especially during times of stress. So trapping or any kind of change that may happen, severe weather, boost your cat's immune systems before a trapping. They'll withstand the stress of the whole experience much more. And you can use powdered supplements that you mix into the food. Although remember, it has a pretty bitter taste. So you have to put in a little bit at a time, but you can give up to 250 milligrams, about an eighth of a teaspoon per cat with each meal if they'll tolerate it. But a good hack is there's a lot of vitamin C in tomato sauce, and cats usually love tomato sauce. You just have to make sure that the sauce doesn't have any onion in it. Take a good look at the ingredients and don't use it if it's got onion, because onion can cause a lot of health problems for cats. Not so much garlic, but definitely onions. So get them some vitamin C in the very cold parts of the winter. That can also be a good way to go. This is a supplement not a lot of people know about, but it's extremely effective. It's called D-Mannos. And it's basically a powder that's a cranberry extract. And it's very good for killing harmful bacteria in the urinary tract. So if you've got cats, especially male cats, and you're concerned that they may be getting to a point where, well, actually, you want to prevent blockages. You don't want to wait till a cat gets, once a cat's blocked, they got to get to the vet right away. And the blockage is like a crystal or something forming in their urethra and then preventing them from urinating. So you would want to probably do this as more of a maintenance thing. But we have with our own pet cats, like we can see that they're starting their little touch of blood, or they just look like they're still passing urine, but it looks like they're straining. We'll start to give them the D-Mannos right away, and it often clears it up. Again, it's more effective for you as a maintenance dose if you're concerned about the cats rather than waiting until something happens. Probiotics are another great way to promote health in cats. Just like with humans, it promotes good bacteria in the intestines and increases their ability to ingest nutrients and things like that. If a cat are on antibiotics for any reason, maybe that you had to bring one in or they got a shot of Convenia and then you release them, the probiotics will help replenish the intestinal bacteria that the antibiotics may have killed. And you can add them to food or water, about a quarter of a teaspoon daily. If you do a little research, you'll see there's just tons of probiotics out there. What about fleas? Well, we come back to our friend Diatomaceous Earth, which will kill fleas because of its, as I said before, it's actually very sharp on a microscopic level, and it will kill fleas on contact usually. What you would want to do if you're having flea problems in an area, and again, remember you're wearing a dust mask, it won't get into the cat's lungs as long as they're not around while you're spreading it. The danger of ingesting it in your lungs is during the spreading, not when it's already in the ground or on the ground. So you put it in cracks and crevices, anywhere that fleas may gather. And people often actually dust the cats with it. You know, though, if you're able to handle them, I'd rather use a standard flea medication, but sometimes this is a lot cheaper and you can just take it and kind of rub it on the cat's fur, and that will kill whatever fleas are in contact. And again, if they lick it and it's food grade, it's not going to harm them. Beneficial nematodes are these microscopic organisms like worms, and you literally spray them on the grass, and you have to do it in the shade, not during the heat of the day, otherwise you'll kill them right away. But you spray them at dawn under the shade of a tree, and they just start growing like crazy and spreading all over the lawn, eating all the flea larvae that are there. And they will pretty quickly eliminate. The adult fleas will go through their life cycle, which is a few weeks, and then there won't be any larvae left to have more fleas. You can get over-the-counter medication for fleas. And as I say, you can get the standard. If you can handle the cats and you can get Advantage or Frontline and squeeze the tube on in between their shoulder blades. But of course, for a lot of these community cats, you can't do that. So assuming you can't handle them, Tapstar is a medication that you can put in their food, and it will kill all the fleas on them within 30 minutes, usually faster. And you don't need a prescription for it. You can get it over the counter. You do have to be careful, one pill for each cat. So you might not be able to dose them all at once. Just keep track of who you have. And it won't kill larvae or eggs. So it doesn't, it's not like Advantage where it continues to work for like a month. It's like 10 minutes, it kills all the fleas on them and then it's done. But let's say you're going to do a trapping and you're going to bring some of the cats into your house to hold them temporarily. Maybe you want to kill all the fleas ahead of time. Safe for kittens over 2 pounds. And one tip is the active ingredient is nitin pyrimin. And there are generic versions that are usually 25-35% cheaper than the name brand, which is Capstar. For worms, there's a few things you can put in their food. Drontal, that you can get over the counter. You can get Drontal. There's a tapeworm medication. And you can go the holistic route and get something like Homeopet. And typically what the homeopathic treatments do is they don't kill the worms, but they cause the cats to excrete them. And then the worms die upon being outside of the cat's body.
Let's keep cats where they belong, at home, with their families. Join us for the Surrender Prevention Certification Workshop on Wednesday, January 15th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, a live online event designed to give you the feline behavior tools to reduce cat intake. Led by feline behaviorist Dr. Rachel Geller, this workshop explores real-world strategies to tackle common challenges like litter box issues, destructive scratching, and inter-cat aggression that often lead to surrender. Plus, you'll learn how to compassionately help cat owners overcome barriers like time, finances, or patience. Registration is just $10 for this can't-miss opportunity to make a real difference for cats and their people. Registration also includes access to recordings, an exclusive Facebook group for networking, extensive helpful handouts, a short quiz, and a digital certificate when you pass. Sign up and earn your Surrender Prevention Certificate today at communitycatspodcast.com/keep the cat. In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together, whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering. People can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcement videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. Hashtag be a helper. Did you know that attending one of our upcoming events could be completely free? At the Community Cats Podcast, we're proud to offer scholarships for many of our virtual workshops and conferences so everyone who cares for cats can participate. Whether you're looking to develop new skills, connect with experts, or increase your impact in the community, these scholarships make it easy for everyone to participate. All you need to do is apply. New opportunities are added regularly, so be sure to visit communitycatspodcast.com/event-scholarships. You never know what might be available, and filling out a simple application form could give you access to an event that will help you change the lives of cats in your neighborhood. We'd like to thank generous sponsors like Maddie's Fund, the Tompkins Foundation, the Joni Bernard Foundation, and others for making these learning opportunities possible. That's communitycatspodcast.com/event-scholarships. Don't miss out and apply today.
Start your 2025 with a purr-focused purpose. Join us for the 8th Annual Online Cat Conference on January 25th and 26th, a 2-day virtual event designed to give you the tools and knowledge to make a real difference for cats in your community. Here's what's in store. Inspiring speakers sharing success stories and expert advice, actionable strategies to elevate your advocacy efforts, and the chance to connect with fellow cat lovers and grow together. Whether you're a seasoned cat champion or just starting your journey, this is your opportunity to learn from the best and create lasting change for our feline friends. Don't wait. Register now at communitycatspodcast.com. Some highlights. Vicki Halls of International Cat Care will be talking about the jigsaw puzzle of sustainable and effective cat population management. Rebecca Burley of Pennies for People, Animals and Wildlife Shelters will lead a compassion fatigue workshop with practical applications. You'll also go globetrotting with Brian Cordes of Neighborhood Cats. Consider community kittens with Rosemarie Crawford of the National Kitten Coalition. And get the latest on feline leukemia from FELV expert Margaret Tompkins of the Tompkins Foundation. that's just a few of the speakers who'll be sharing their knowledge at the online cat conference. Again, visit communitycatspodcast.com to learn more and register today. That's communitycatspodcast.com. We can't wait to see you there.
For those of you who have not taken our certification workshop or might be interested, that's where we do basic training on trapping, and you want to make sure your colony cats are fixed. So we go through, this is a very detailed workshop on how to make that happen. Also want to make you aware that coming up in January is the annual online cat conference held by the Community Cats Podcast. It's a great conference, takes place over 2 days. There's just a ton of information, and I'll be speaking at the conference, a workshop called Globetrotting with Neighborhood Cats. In the last couple of years, we've started working with programs all over the world. Right now, we're in Australia, Indonesia, and Kenya. And so we'll be talking about those programs and kind of the interesting differences and similarities to programs here in North America. And with that, Stacy, I think we have a little bit of time for questions.
Excellent. Super. Great presentation. And I was just keeping an eye on the questions. One person was asking if there's, you know, anything special or anything different that they need to do when they're caring for mom cat and kittens. Is there anything different when you're talking about kittens under the age of 12 weeks?
So I assume caring for them outdoors as community cats,
I would just up the nutrition that you're giving the mom. That's the best thing. So even if it's for a couple of months, try to give her extra canned food, whatever you can afford in terms of the quality of that food. But she's going to be using a lot of energy and nutrients and a lot of strain on her system. So the better the nutrition during that period of time, the healthier she'll be, and then the healthier her kittens will be. I'd also be conscious of whether there's any flea issues, especially when they're very young. Kittens, if they get infested with fleas, they can become anemic, and that can be fatal. So you'd want to think about, you know, dusting any areas where mom is keeping the kittens and make sure they're flea free.
Somebody was just asking about L-lysine. And for me, olden times, L-lysine used to be like, oh, this is the thing we use all the time. What are your opinions about using that?
Yeah, it has antiviral qualities. It's not the cure-all that sometimes people think it is, but it's helpful. So if you've got a cat with an upper respiratory infection, something that's viral, probably viral in nature, and it's not too severe, if it gets severe, you want to bring them to a veterinarian. But if it's mild, you might mix a little bit of lysine. You'll have to do some research on what the dosage should be, and it will help. It's not a cure, but I have found that it's helpful. It gives the system a little bit of a more resistance.
There's a question out here with regards to feline leukemia positive cat. And what I'm going to do is recommend that they check out some of our videos on the YouTube page with regards to feline leukemia from Online Feline Leukemia Day. And there's also, if you just Google in Facebook, there's a very strong feline leukemia Facebook group in there. Or you can always email me and I can put you in touch with Margaret Tompkins. And she's a wealth of information when you're talking about dealing with cats with feline leukemia. And let's see here. Questions are coming in fast and furious. Okay. What if you have a disease outbreak in your colony?
Usually, you know, disease is, in our experience, it's directly related to the conditions that the colony is living in. So it's usually indicative of poor nutrition or lack of adequate shelter. So the first thing you'd want to do is address those. You'd want to make sure if it's cold or you're in a very rainy climate or whatever, that they have a place to shelter that's protected from the elements. I'd want to immediately, even on a temporary couple of week basis, raise the level of nutrition that they're getting and see if they can handle it for themselves. Because in colony situations, disease is usually a symptom of something that could be improved in the colony management. If it's beyond that, then you really need to get veterinary advice.
Somebody's mentioning FIP and all the changing in the medical, the treatment there, not to be gone into today, but hang in there. 2025, we will be dealing with FIP, but there is a lot of new medical information out about FIP, feline infectious peritonitis. Last question is, How do you convince the community that trap, neuter, return is really a positive thing? It seems like there's a lot of like, I have to work really hard to convince people, or I'm not able to convince my neighbors that it's okay to have these cats out in the general population. So what would your recommendations be?
Well, I mean, you started the process by talking to people in the community and trying to educate them. So having that dialogue is really important. And really the best, most persuasive is a successful example, right? So when we started in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, TNR was completely unknown, but there were colonies of cats everywhere and people were having a lot of problems. Remember, TNR is most effective as a problem solver. So you've got cats screeching in the middle of the night, waking people up. You've got male cats spraying the backyards and that smells so noxious, people can't use their backyards. You got kittens all over the place. You have deaths that are highly visible. So you want to come in as a problem solver and say, hey, if I do TNR, these problems are going to go away almost entirely. And we did that in one colony. It took one colony of cats. And then we spent the next 2 years TNRing all over the Upper West Side because everybody wanted the same solution to the same problems that they were having. So I think approaching it as this is what it will do for you, not so much like, oh, we love the cats and aren't the cats great, but this is to your advantage, whether you like the cats or not. There's a reason we fix our pet cats because otherwise they would be nightmares to live with and they're nightmares to live with outdoors when they're not fixed. So talk about the advantages to the people. Nobody else is going to come along and help you. You may want them to disappear. That's not going to happen. So let's get them fixed and at least greatly reduce the issues that you're having.
Right. I have not run into any or many situations where all the cats have been spayed or neutered, the colony is at 100% sterilization, and that there have been complaints in the immediate vicinity of those cats. So the issues that people are dealing with are issues when the cats are not all fully spayed or neutered. So our energy and our resources needs to be getting to that 100% sterilization point and providing appropriate housing, appropriate food, just have it make sense for the community that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to understand, to not lose perspective, which is people don't have the knowledge about cats that we have. And we, but by we, I mean everybody who's attending today. They just see cats. They don't know sterilized cat from unsterilized cat, nuisance from non-nuisance. They don't know that fixing them is going to make a difference. They just see cats. They see problems. They don't want the cats. So you're the one who has to explain to them, no, it's the cat's status. It's the fact that they're not spayed or neutered. Once they're fixed and you've eliminated most of these problems, the cats become a benefit, but just understand that people don't know that. They don't see that. You have to be the one to explain.
So thank you, Brian, for this great presentation. And Susie in the background, thank you so much for answering questions. Kristen, the technical tabby, thank you for that. And everybody, thank you for turning your passion for cats into action.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.